name is Clockwork, and I'm a gamer with swagger.
My name is Chan Park, and I'm a gamer with swagger.
What's up, gamers? We are back once again with another episode of Infinite Rushdown, the only fighting game-focused podcast on the internet with that swag laid right on top of it. I'm your host, The Blacksmith, and I am proud to announce that we have some very special guests on today's show. We have Chan Park, president of Superbot Games, developer of PlayStation All-Stars, and not only him, we also have Clockwork on our podcast this evening. How are you guys doing, man?
Doing okay. How about you?
Doing good, man.
It's no problem. I'm doing awesome. I'm pleased to have you guys on, and I really appreciate you guys taking time out to do this podcast real quick.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's our pleasure.
No problem. So my first question for you guys is, during my time with the game, I noticed that many mechanics are in it that are found in other popular fighting games, including like crumples, environmental launchers, aka wall bounces, and also there's a need for space manipulation. And these aren't included in the other title that you guys are kind of mirrored to, which is Smash Brothers. What else did you do to overcome that stigma of, you know, being directly associated with that title?
Well, a lot of it was that, you know, we did take inspiration from several different fighting games, and it was really about, of course, the first priority is to make the game fun, but at the same time, we're trying to make something competitive here, and it was important to us that the combat engine was, you know, something deeper than just for dudes, you know, mashing buttons. So that's why it was important to add things like crumples and stuns, and you have these different hit reactions and all these different combos and different ways you can land them depending on your positioning. So, you know, we've created something, you know, unique in the fighting game genre, in that, you know, we have our core mechanic, it's a lot different, and, you know, all these different elements coming together to create a unique experience for the player.
Yeah, I think you can say that, you know, we are a amalgam of a lot of different influences, and, you know, I think just like, you know, children from parents, you may look like one of your parents, but, you know, your personality may be like the other parent, and I think that may be the case with us. We have an external appearance that's similar maybe to Smash, but our soul is different, you know. We have our own unique soul, and it draws inspiration from a lot of different other influences, and, you know, not just fighting games, but there's influences from all different kinds of games, and, you know, as with most games, I think that's true.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I've been literally around the world demonstrating this game for all the different fans and players out there, and oftentimes the very first thing that they'll say to me is like, yeah, this is definitely not what I expected. You know, you have this preconceived notion of what the game is supposed to be or should be or what you think it is when you're going into it, and once you finally get your hands to play it, or finally get it in your hands, it's definitely not what people expect a lot of times.
Definitely, I have to agree, because it's definitely been a unique experience for me, you know, in playing this title, and I can't front, I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot.
It's awesome.
So my next question for you guys, it's kind of like a topic, and, you know, in anytime any of you guys feel just like you did, you know, previously, you want to jump in, I appreciate anyone's input. All right. Recently, Seth Killian announced the Cat and Emmett Graves from Starhawk and Gravity Rush, respectively, would be the new the DLC character that's going to be added to the title. What was the decision-making process in choosing the final cast of characters, and which characters will later come as DLC? And as a side question, why did you guys choose to have a second Cole instead of another PlayStation well-known character like Crash Bandicoot?
Well, you know, we've said this a number of times in regards to sort of the IP issue. First, I mean, you know, this is one of those games where no matter what characters do you put in the game, you're never going to please anybody. And I think that's you know, true for characters that we include, as well as characters that we that aren't in the game, that are excluded. So, you know, sometimes characters that are included, a lot of fans would be like, oh, that's my favorite character, and other fans would be like, oh, that's such a waste of space. It's a no-win situation, really. And, you know, what we do is we're fans. You know, we want to approach everybody that we're interested in, and we continue to do so. But it's not our decision. It would be great if it was just something that we can, you know, just as you know, if we want a character, then instantly in the game, it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
You know, these IP holders have their own vision and their own plan for what to do with these characters. And at times, those plans and that vision may not line up with what, you know, we're trying to do. A lot of cases, you know, they may be thinking about relaunching those characters. They may have different, you know, obligations to other business deals that they've put together. So, you know, oftentimes, as much as we may want a character in the game, it's not our decision solely. But that doesn't stop us from continuing to try. So, you know, in regards to the characters that we do choose, again, we put our big wish list together, and we work with Sony very closely to approach the IP holders. And based off of what they have in mind or what their constraints are and their availability and their willingness, we pursue those characters, and then we come up with a plan on working on them. And certainly, Kat and Emmett were really, really awesome characters that we wanted in the game, representative of, you know, some of the new IP that's coming out for PlayStation. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, and with that said, you know, anyone who's ever played Infamous knows that, you know, Coley takes a different path, and it really changes the way that you play the game. And, you know, this is a topic that when Cole was first announced, it was, you know, there was a lot of discussion going on about these characters, and now that the game's actually out, it's just as we suspected. These characters, they play, you know, different from each other, and they're both extremely fun to play. And I definitely, yeah, I'm really pleased with the way it turned out.
Awesome. The balancing of characters is key in any fighting game. What are some of the obstacles that you guys faced in the process of ensuring that all the characters were well balanced in this title? Because to me, it seems like they are. Like, there's not one specific character that's, you know, that overpowered. And you guys did a good job with that. What were some of the obstacles that you guys faced in, you know, trying to get to that level?
I think one of the main obstacles is that you have, you know, all these different, you know, play styles, all these different characters, you know, just by virtue of, you know, we were taking characters from all kinds of different, you know, worlds and universes. So it can be a challenge to make sure that all these different characters are cohesive in our game. You know, these characters that have firearms, characters that fight, you know, with melee mostly, and a lot of it just boils down to, you know, what's fun. And, you know, balance aside, as long as it's fun, then, you know, that's the main goal. But, of course, you want to keep the game balanced. So it just takes a lot of, you know, rigorous playtesting. And at the same time, it's difficult when, you know, obviously we are, you know, a limited number of people with a limited amount of time. And then when this game goes out into the world versus thousands of people with unlimited amount of time, so there's bound to be, you know, strategies that they find that we didn't even expect players to, you know, that's the stuff that we didn't initially find ourselves. But at the same time, we do have this telemetry system. We've been getting, you know, a lot of information regarding, you know, what characters people are choosing, what moves are successful, and, you know, we don't want to be hasty about, you know, making balance changes to knee-jerk reactions of the initial, you know, the game hasn't even been out for a week, or it's been out for a week, and that's definitely not enough time to really make major calls as far as balancing goes. But at the same time, this is something that we are closely watching so that we know what to investigate when it comes to balance changes.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Daniel kind of hit it on the head. I mean, the big balancing act is really staying true to each of the characters, each of the IP. Sackboy has a very different set of constraints as a character when we interact with the IP holders of what they want to see and how they want that character represented and how that character needs to be represented in this game so that people, when they play him, feel like, oh, this is the Sackboy that I know and love. And that means that, you know, he's not going to be the same sort of violent character that Kratos is, which is a hallmark of his game. So, you know, having two completely opposing sort of styles that you have to work with, and two different kinds of characters completely in their spirit, and then having them fight each other is a huge challenge. So, you know, first and foremost, we look for ways that we can, again, capture their personality and the essence of those characters in our game. And then we find a way to kind of balance the moves against each other and, you know, have this very unique and diverse group of characters that feel like the way that they're supposed to feel from their original IP, but yet feel really good playing against each other, and not one is, you know, seriously more sort of overpowered than the other. And I know there's a lot of sort of comments on such that one character is overpowered or another character is overpowered. I think it's way too premature for people to say that, because there's depth to these characters, and that's another part of the balance, is that not every character is going to be super strong out of the gate. You've got to, and also people have been playing the beta with six characters, and they're really good at those characters. So those characters are obviously going to feel more overpowered than other characters, because simply because people have had more time with those characters. And I think in the same way that sort of evolved in the beta, it's going to evolve over the course of this game. If people spend time with each of the characters, getting to know their nuances, what they're good at, what their strengths and weaknesses are, how they can be utilized, looking at some of the combos, I think that people will find that there's an incredible balance of depth as well. And then that exploring that depth will give them an understanding of how the characters are balanced overall throughout the entire game.
Exactly. I just wanted to chime in a little bit, because my time with it, you know, I actually, that's how I felt. You know, I've seen a lot of the posts and, you know, I've paid attention to it. But when from my personal experiences and me going in and playing with characters like Kratos, that's been, you know, a staple since day one. It's been at the E3 demo kiosk. Those characters are fun to play with. But also when you have new characters that haven't been available, like Raiden, like Dante, and, you know, that are available now, those characters have their own nuances and their own, you know, strategies to use that, you know, not necessarily are the same, but are fun and also powerful and, you know, diverse in their own right.
I've seen discussions about, you know, oh, this character's overpowered, this character's overpowered. I've seen that for every single character in the game.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing that Daniel mentioned, it's important to us, you know, balancing is an ongoing process, and telemetry is a huge part of that. And we spent a lot of time and investment in ensuring that we have a really good system of you know, acquiring that telemetry data and making adjustments accordingly. But, you know, our first line of defense is always our own team. Again, like, we're fans, and we have a great representation of sort of, it's a little microcosm of what the fan base is out there. We've got super hardcore gamers like Plock and, you know, and Art and Ed Ma and Omar that really understand hardcore gaming, you know, fighting games, you know, as good as anybody in the world. And then we have, you know, just your average casual players. And so I think that, the first line of defense is really getting the feedback from our own staff. And believe me, you know, if there are horrible imbalances in the game, these guys are all over it. So, you know, we're constantly making adjustments.
Man, thank you for that, because that was an awesome segue. Go ahead, you had something?
I was just going to say, you know, and when you put a game like this onto the world, you know, I've been playing fighting games for quite some time now, and oftentimes it takes, you know, years, if not a decade, for some of these strategies to get fleshed out. So, you know, I enjoy reading the posts about character balance and this and that. At the same time, it's important that we're not too hasty about making judgments on, you know, this character is this or this character is that or this character is too strong, because, yeah, the game is still new. People are still having, you know, rambunctious discussions about it. I see new videos posted every day about new stuff that people are finding. And, yeah, again, like those first six characters in the beta, people are going to be most proficient with those characters versus some of the other characters, like Sir Daniel, for example, who hasn't really been available for people to play in any of these demos or kiosks or anything. So it's really interesting to see what players come up with as the game is finally out now.
Awesome. Hey, I really appreciate the last statement you made, Chan, because that actually segues to, you know, my next question. You know, because it seems like from the staff that it's evident that you guys, you know, have an appeal with the fighting game community. You guys want to cater to them, and, you know, you guys want them to, you know, gravitate towards your game. It seems like you guys want this game to be played competitively. And if so, in what format? Do you want a 1v1 in the free-for-all format that a lot of people playing? Or, you know, is the another format that I thought would be played out with Cross Tekken was the team 2v2 format. Is that something that, you know, which format did you guys prefer to be prevalent in the game being played in a tournament environment?
Well, first and foremost, I am in the school of thought where I believe the community should decide how they want to play the game.
Exactly.
You know, it's not our place to tell people how to play our game. At the same time, we do have some modes here that we prefer. We really do like the 2v2. It's really great to see that synergy flowing between, you know, two vastly opposing characters and how they make that work, how they make the supers work. At the same time, we are having pretty hefty discussions regarding what the best way to play our game competitively is. One of the ideas that I've been throwing around in my head recently is actually in taking the kill limit down a few notches. So in a 1v1 situation, maybe first to 2 kills even, and then in a 2v2 situation, first to 3 kills. So I know a lot of our players are playing 1v1 first to 3 and 2v2 first to 5. I feel that maybe some experimenting needs to be done with those lower kill limits to see, you know, the game will change drastically when you change the format like that. But, you know, ultimately, I'd like the community and the players themselves to decide, you know, how they play this game. So it's really up to the players, the community, the tournament organizers. You know, also, you know, you have to take into consideration the logistics of the tournament. Maybe some tournaments, the way they're run, they only have time for this mode or that mode, or whatever their prize payout is, they have to take that into consideration. But yeah, ultimately, it's really up to the players on how they play this game.
Chan, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, you know, I completely agree. I think it's really up for the fans to figure out which they think is the most conducive to tournament play. But, you know, just purely kind of as a spectator, when I see my guys play and they're playing 2v2 tournaments, it is really sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much great strategy involved. It takes a little bit out of the chaos away from a free-for-all, you know, because there are two distinct teams. But, you know, it's really fun to watch. So I think from that aspect, I think 2v2 has a lot of great potential for tournament stuff. Just because of the spectator aspect of it is really fun.
Yeah, and there are you know, a lot of events coming up, and they all express interest in, you know, having All-Stars tournaments. Even tonight, as we speak, once again, it's going to have an All-Star tournament. It's going to be the first 2v2 tournament at that venue. So we'll be monitoring very closely how these tournaments run out, or excuse me, how these tournaments play out to see, you know, what's optimal as far as competitive play goes.
You guys are on fire, because that was actually, that goes right into my next topic. It seems like, you know, Evo is definitely is a targeted destination for this title. And if, you know, if that's in your sights, what are some of the preliminary tournaments that the title will be available at?
We're in talks with several tournament organizers about our game being included. Of course, you know, they're going to include it anyway, you know, regardless. But we've been getting a lot of, you know, they've been contacting me about, you know, direction as far as the format goes and all that. As far as Evo goes, I mean, you know, ultimately it's not up to us whether that game is in there or not. But, you know, if the fan support is there, if the online is still going as strong as it is right now, which is it's very encouraging, then, you know, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously it's something that, you know, it's so awesome to have guys like Seth and Clock involved, and again, like, and Omar, that are all really tight with, you know, that community and those tournaments. So, you know, we definitely have those avenues available to us to kind of, you know, have that dialogue, and we're definitely exploring, you know, all of it. And I think the thing is like, yeah, we do understand that there's, you know, that hardcore fighting game fan component is extremely important, and so is sort of the mass market. And I think that it's funny because, you know, I think hip-hop is a really good analogy. It's like, you know, in order to kind of be successful in hip-hop, you got to be true to the hardcore, you know?
True.
You can't come out and, you know, if the hardcore people don't like you, if the hardcore hip-hop fans say that, you know, that your shit's tired, you know, you're not going anywhere, right?
That's true.
If you get that acceptance at that core level, then I think that allows you to kind of broaden your appeal into the mass market and have this sort of stamp of legitimacy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you go out there. And, you know, for the pop fans and then the kind of more casual consumers to be all like, oh, okay, the hardcore fans dig it. It's real. I can dig it too, you know?
Awesome. That you couldn't be said better right there, you know? Because you definitely have to have to appeal to your core, you know?
You got to have cred, right? Like, you know, you got to establish that cred. And, you know, again, like having those guys with that cred as individuals, being a part of this project and being a part of the company, and you know, this initiative is something that's huge for us.
Yeah, and we'll, moving forward, we will continue to support, you know, tournament organizers and the different communities that are popping up all around, you know, North America and around the world, really.
Yeah.
That, you know, however we can help, whether we kind of shout them out or give them direction as far as the format goes. I mean, if they're supporting the game, we're supporting them.
Awesome. I thank you for the answers, but I was more like trying to figure out whether you guys are going to try to get it in different leagues like IPL and MLG, or going to focus more on the homegrown tournaments like NEC and Final Round.
Right. I mean, we are constantly negotiating and talking with tournament organizers. I know a lot of them personally. So for any event that's willing to have us, I mean, we'd love to talk to them.
We are actually at MLG. We got invited out there. So we participated in this last one in Texas, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
And we had a great response, and, you know, the fans really gave us love at the show, and even though, you know, they really kind of didn't know about us. So it's great, you know. I think our hope is that with the exposure, you know, increasing, that there's more interest in having us participate in any events, and I think that, you know, we're up for any and all, no matter how big and small.
Yeah. And even where I talked to you last, actually, at Raleigh.
Yeah, MLG Raleigh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the response there was huge, you know, so it really, for me, the biggest thing is just to get people to play the game, get their hands on the game. That's really our biggest strength in this title, is that it's just a blast of play. So the more people that we can get, you know, playing this game, then it just works out for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a big, you know, there's a big dorm tournament at some university, and we know about it, we'll be there.
Yeah,
shit.
That's awesome. That'd be sick to see you guys out of like NC State University in a dorm tournament. That's
that whole, you know, the North Carolina be crazy. You got Duke and UNC and NC State.
Yep. ECU. Yep.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask you guys about is, you know, me and PL, we've been talking about like companies, you know, supporting the titles. Like, you know, will you guys be supporting the titles, like, you know, like with pop bonuses and things of that nature at the events?
You know, coming from FGC background, I know firsthand what it's like. You know, these other game companies, you know, they're great and all, but it's just really difficult to keep in touch, to keep the lines of communication open, because, you know, one, you have a language barrier, two, you have these companies that are, you know, overseas, and it's really difficult to get that same feeling of what, you know, we're trying to do with this game. You know, we've been doing our best to make it out to the events. I was just at two different All-Stars events last week just to show support. So it's really important for us that fans know that it's a two-way street of communication where, you know, we're constantly reading the forums, the discussions, the official forums, the DAF forums, Shoryuken forums, the GameFAQs forums, all these different discussions that are going on. It helps us really keep, you know, our ear to the community, basically. And, you know, it's one of our strengths is that, you know, we are for the community, by the community, from the community type thing. And so like we said before, we want to support whatever we can to whatever capacity that we can. And yeah, we just love that people are having fun with the game and want to play competitively in tournaments, see who's best. Yeah, it's just really great.
Yeah, well, you know, we're obviously work very closely with Sony, you know, as the publisher, you know, we got to get the green light for a lot of things that we want to do, you know, and work in concert with those guys. And, you know, they're of like mind to try and get this out to as many places. You know, there's only so much that we can do as Superbot. You know, we're still just a small startup company. You know, we're kind of a small fish in a big pond. And, you know, trying to do our best with, you know, the best game we can put out there and support it to the best of our ability. But again, you know, with whatever resources and whatever sort of bandwidth and you know, budget that we can, we will try and represent, you know, as many places as we can.
Awesome. I think that's going to be, you know, music to a lot of people's ears, you know, who want to see this title, you know, get to the limelight. They want to see it on a big stage, you know. And I think that's definitely going to be awesome because support behind the title is definitely necessary in this flooded market.
as players and fans continue to support the game, I mean, we're continuing to support the game and support the community at large as well.
Awesome. All right, one more question. Well, I actually have two more questions, and then I'm gonna let you guys go. In choosing, you know, I noticed that you guys mentioned, you know, you have new characters that are coming out. But in choosing new environments for the game, you know, what's the decision-making process in that? Do you guys only focus on, you know, a game environment that will be similar to the character that the characters are in the game? Or would you, like, put a Metal Gear environment, you know, in the game, or put like maybe a Rogue Galaxy environment in the game, you know, different Sony related environments for characters that are not necessarily, you know, a part of the roster. What is the decision making process in choosing, you know, the inclusions of what environments you guys are going to have in the game, and also what obstacles are going to be a part of said environment? Because I noticed that obstacles and different the different levels, the pieces of the environment are really a prevalent part of the title.
Yeah, it really is. Again, this is a showcase and a celebration of PlayStation history throughout the entire game. So it's not just the characters, but we really wanted to emphasize, you know, being able to create these really rich environments and rich levels, and you know, have fan service throughout the entire game. So, you know, characters that may not necessarily work as playable characters may be great characters for cameos and, you know, just kind of, you know, when you're sitting around, you're watching your friends play because, you know, you're waiting for your turn, you can still have a lot of fun identifying all the different kinds of characters or things or items and elements in the background and the levels. So, you know, the cool thing is that each level really has sort of that main theme and a mashup theme that comes with it. So there's a lot of opportunity to draw upon, you know, lots of different, you know, properties to showcase. So, you know, our approach to it is similar with the characters. You know, we just look for what we think will have sort of the coolest impact. We'll have, you know, a lot of fun with the mashups and what we do. And, you know, what would be the most conducive to gameplay. So I think those are the criteria. And, you know, again, in a similar way, we approach the IP holders and kind of gauge their interest in participating. I would say that, you know, levels have not been as sort of stringent and as constrained as the characters, but still there's quite a bit of interaction with the IP holders, and but you know, I think we've got a lot of cool surprises.
Oh, see, there you go again. You're lining right up with me, man. You're talking about surprises. my very next, you know, thing is, you know, is there anything that you could give us a little taste of, a little smell of, you know, that we could have the, you know, the podcast listeners drooling over?
I'm going to channel some Omar here and say, stick me to
it. All right, no doubt. Well, then I have another question. Which characters do you guys specifically gravitate towards when you guys play?
Well, you know, I'm an older guy, so these guys' reflexes are a lot better than mine. And overall, I wish I had a lot more time to invest in getting better with all the characters. But, you know, I tend to gravitate towards Kratos because he was one of the first characters, and, you know, I've sort of had the most time with him. But other characters that I really love, I love Radek. Just as a character, he's really interesting to me.
His voice acting is really good.
Yeah, and, you know, he's just a badass. And then also, recently, Hayachi. It's funny, in our rap party, we had a cocktail called the Hayachi, and that was my favorite cocktail.
Yeah.
And also,
it might or might not have been the strongest cocktail.
And then also, dude's got a tiger on the back of his knee, man. How are you going to, you know, you can't beat that. You can't mess with a tiger. So, you know, he's one of my favorites as well.
Yeah, I personally am a big Raiden fan. I really love the visual they did with him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looks sick. Big Raiden fan. I also like Naruto because she has a really interesting play style. You know, one of the criteria for picking characters is, you know, how sick is this character going to function in this game? And she just plays really well. I really love the way she plays. Once Kat is completed and finished, I'm going to be investing a lot of time into her. She's just a really cool character. Awesome. Yeah, awesome character design. So we'll see how that plays out.
Awesome. Well, that's about it. I just have one suggestion, and I'm going to close out the show. If you guys are able, man, one of my favorite games from the old PlayStation days was Battle Arena Toshinden. I love that game. I love that game. If there's any way that you could snatch anyone up from that game, that would make my year. EG.
There was the drunken kung fu. I forget what his name was.
There was the two main characters. I think one was like Kyo or something, and they just had swords.
Yeah, EG was the main character. He was like the Ryu.
EG, yeah, sorry. I thought it was Kyo. Yeah, it's EG.
He's my favorite character. Like, that's the one I use. But, you know, anybody from that, I think that game would be awesome and would really fit, you know. But that's my personal opinion, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times when you're reading discussions, you just see, you know, lists upon lists of characters that they want in our game. And truth be told, you know, we have lists upon lists of characters that, you know, we want in the game. So, I mean, you just gotta stay tuned.
Awesome. And I think the inclusion of that will actually be somewhere along the lines of like a Killer Instinct level surprise for gamers, you know. Because Killer Instinct, you know, a lot of people want it, but it's kind of like up in the air. But if you bring back Toshinden, that'll slap them. That'll slap a couple people.
Yeah, they'll be staring at their monitors and they'll slap. Yeah, that's like one of the first generation fighting
games. Yeah, I think it was actually it didn't predate Tekken. Tekken was in 94. I remember playing Tekken in the arcades. But then Battle Arena Toshinden came out, and it was, like, for the home consoles. Yeah, so I think it came out, like, 95, 96. It was a really fun game. So that's about it. That's all the time we have for this episode of Infinite Rushdown. I'm your host, The Blacksmith. I'd like to thank my special guest for coming on the show. I like to thank my special guest, Chan Park. Thank you so much. Clockwork, thank you, brother. I really appreciate it.
Of course, thanks for having us.
Thanks, bro.
No problem, man. And I'm. If you guys really want a title that is full of blood, sweat, and tears and fan service, go pick up PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. You have a great time. You can take that to the bank. Coming from your boy, Blacksmith from GamerSwagger.com.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to just all the huge fan support, everyone that's supporting, you know, us as a new upcoming developer, as well as this awesome game that we've created. It's just we've been getting, you know, huge support. I'm glad everyone's having fun with the game, and it's really really exciting time right now.
I second all of that sincerely.
No doubt.
Thank you. All right, thanks, man.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. As I end all podcasts, I like to tell everybody is if you're going to play games, play hard or don't play at all. That's Infinite Rushdown, y'all.